daf is daf chaf aleph. Taken from the Gemara around 8 lines down, and the two dots, it says v'yesh shechus tola shlosh hasharim v'chulei. The lach is that if she has a certain tuchus, she's able to last for up to 3 years. So the Gemara says, Zechus demai, what exactly was the zechus? What did she do to earn this this delay of punishment? Tz'ilema zechus the Torah, if it's because she's zechus, because she learned ha'ina mitzvah ve'osehi. It's she's not commanded to learn. So what if she's not commanded? Can't she still get schar? So I guess the idea is that it's not enough schar. A person, even if a person who's ha'ina mitzvah ve'osehi, still gets some level of schar. Right, so that's what they're saying. The schar is not that great. The schar, but not that great.
Right, it's not a typical schar.
But there's certainly a schar still. So it can't be the zechus of learning. Ella must be the zechus of the mitzvah. The zechus of a mitzvah. So what's the zechus of mitzvah? So Gemara explains, doesn't say what particular mitzvah, but she does mitzvahs, whatever it is. So the mitzvah, mi magne kuli hai, it's a zechus. The schar performing a mitzvah, is it going to protect her so much? V'hatanya, et zu darash Rabbi Menachem Bar Yosef, he darash in the following drash pasuk, ki ner mitzvah v'torah or, and the pasuk says, and the Gemara explains, tala kasav es a mitzvah b'ner. A mitzvah is compared to a ner, a candle, a flame. V'es a torah b'or, and the Torah is compared to the actual light. That's a mitzvah b'ner. What does that mean, the mitzvah is compared to a candle? Lo malacha to teach you, ma ner eino magina el afisha, just like a candle, only lasts for so long, a few hours. And most, a mitzvah inu magina elafisha, so to a mitzvah only protects a person for a few moments. As opposed to Vesa Torah, but or the Torah is the light never extinct, there's always light, there's always or, not from a candle, but or in general. So lomar lacha ma'or magina liolam, just like there's always going to be light, af Torah magina liolam, so too Torah protects the person forever. V'omer, and moreover, the Gemara says another pasuk, it says, besalecha tancha osach, besalecha tancha osach ze el maze, bishach ba'cha tishmor lecha zumisa. So all the pasuk here, the pasuk in Mishnah is being darshened. When a person goes, when he's walking, it's referring to Olam Hazeh. When he's lying down to be protected, he'll be protected. That's referring to Misa. And the Kitosa of Kate is always referring to Olas Lavo. So what's going on here? So the Gemara explains it's a mashal. So mashal Adam Shayam Mahalich B'Ishan Laila. Person's walking in the darkness of the night. Vafela, it's very, very dark. He's scared of thorns. He's scared of what's pchasim, something that's very pits. Go most of the rashes are pits. Barkanim, what's barkanim?
Thistles.
What's thistles?
It's like a thorn.
Another type of thorn. Okay. He's scared of all these different things. He doesn't know where he's walking. He's scared of a wild animal. Listen from bandits. And doesn't know where he's going. Nizdamna lo avuka shaor. Suddenly he has a fire, a torch. Nitam na kotzim. He now knows how to walk, so he's protected from the thorns. Minam chasim, minam barkarnim, v'adayim misar mechayirab. He's still scared of a wild animal might come and attack him. Umra listim. He's still scared of bandits. In fact, he's actually drawing attention to himself now. V'inyo deh beizu derech mahalich. He still doesn't know where he's going. So kevin jalo min hashachar, and the moment the sun rises, nita michai ra, all the evil animals go back to sleep, the nocturnal animals go to sleep, we're going to listen, the bandits go to sleep, he still doesn't know which way he's going though, there's no map with him, there's no compass. So gila parsha drach, and finally he reaches the crossways, and nita makum, now he does that way, you're going to go to Eretz Yisrael, it's that way, to Bavel, it's that way, so now he finally is saved from everything. Okay, so what's the nimshal here? How's this connecting to the pasuk, and how does this go back to the fact that Torah protects you? So let's see if Rashi explains this. So Rashi explains. You see, Rashi nizdamna lo avuka shel or. Rashi says kach zach lekai mitzvah nitzal mimat miktas pranios. So he gets the avuka shel or, the fire, the little flame that refers to the mitzvah. So the fire is going to protect him from some of the things. He won't bump into a thorn bush anymore, but it's not protected from the chayos v'raos and the listim. It's not until the sun comes up, that he's protected from everything. So that's the mashal, the nimshal is the Torah versus the mitzvahs. So that's the idea. So mitzvah can't protect her so much. It can't be the schar mitzvah that's going to cause her to be tola. Davar acher, alternatively, the Gemara says, we're still on the same idea here.
I think it's still missing the pshat.
The pasuk?
Yeah.
Okay, davar acher, aveira mechabe mitzvah ve'in aveira mechabe Torah. An aveira, a person has a mitzvah, so it could be extinguished, that flame could be extinguished by doing an aveira. But when a person does follows the Torah, he learns Torah rather, that cannot be extinguished by an avera. Shenemar, Maim Rabim Lo Yuchal Lechabos Es Ava, the great waters, Maim El Torah, the great waters of Torah cannot be extinguished, not be wiped out because of the Ava that's there. So Rashi explains, Avera Mechabe Schar Mitzvah. Avera is able to extinguish the schar one has for a mitzvah. Ve'ein Avera Mechabe Schar Misha Osik B'Torah Kodem Lachach. So we see mitzvah doesn't protect the person so much. Rashi says further, L'chavo says ha'ava zu Torah. The ava refers to Torah. That's why I say bochar ba'mo yisrael ba'ava. Bochar ba'mo yisrael ba'ava, the bracha before Shema, can also be used for birchas ha'Torah. If a person didn't say birchas ha'Torah in the morning and then said the bracha of ava with Shema and had kavanah b'yotzei bracha of birchas ha'Torah, that works. Ava is the lashon of Torah. D'chsiv in the Shir Hashirim, Rashi quotes, Hivyanu el beis ha'yayin v'digolai ava yayin sod. So yayin refers to the Torah, the sodos of Torah, and that's given with ava. So we see here, though, in the end of the day, that waters, the waters of Torah, the waters of Ava, Torah of Ava, cannot be extinguished. So the question is, so how could, what's the schar again that she's going to get in order to live for extra years? So Rav Yosef comes along and explains as follows. So Amar Rav Yosef, mitzvah be'idna de'asik be'migane u'me'atzle, the moment a person's performing a mitzvah, so that he's going to be protected and saved during the performance of the mitzvah. The moment where he's not doing the mitzvah, but he already done it in the past, that mitzvah will protect him, it just won't save him. It's going to serve as a defense, but if he's on the attack, someone's already on the attack for him, it's not going to save him from it anymore. So yes, a mitzvah can protect a person, it just can't save a person from a situation that he's in. And that's how they answer the question. So yes, it's a schar mitzvah. Rashi just explained all this a little bit clearer. The last few narrow lines, mitzvah be'idna de'asik be, v'hainu l'fisha de'amar, migana min ha'yisurim, it protects a person from any troubles, mitzali mi'yetara, shelo yachshil lachto. It also, I thought it meant to protect the person, save him from a situation of a physical danger. Rashi says it saves him from the yitzahara. However, b'idna d'lo asik be, says Rashi, the moment a person is not performing a mitzvah anymore, mishenigmar ha-mitzvah, when the mitzvah is complete, v'einu asik be, he's no longer doing it, agunim megani min ha-pranios, it protects him from any bad, but atuli lo mitzvah, it doesn't save him. La milahagin min ha-yisurim kamar, ela milita schar la-asid. So I skipped a line there. U'dekatsani b'braisa, aveir mechabe mitzvah, la milahagin min ha-yisurim kamar, ela milita schar la-asid. So it comes out here, it's a mitzvah, protects the person, and also saves him from any yitzhara while he's doing the mitzvah. When he's not doing the mitzvah, it protects him, but doesn't save him from the Yetzer Hara. So Gemara now says, Maskev l'Rabba, Rabba asks, El Miata, if that's the case, Doeg v'achi tofel, mi lo aske b'Torah, amai lo hagina aleo. These two individuals were very much engrossed in learning Torah, and they were not protected. So we see Torah doesn't protect. So El Amar Rav, Rav says, therefore I need to tweak this line. Really, Torah, be'idna da'asik be magne matle, the moment a person learns, he's protected and he's saved from the Yitzhara. However, be'idna de la'asik be, when he's not learning, aguni magani, the Torah is going to protect him, atzuli lo matle, but it won't save a person from a situation he finds himself in. And the next level below that is mitzvah, bein be'idna da'asik ba, bein be'idna de la'asik be, aguni magani, atzuli lo matle. Mitzvahs, whether the person's doing it or already had done the mitzvah, it's always going to protect from perennials, but it will never save a person from a situation. So the situation of doeg v'achi tofel, so at the moment, they weren't learning Torah, and they needed to be saved from the Yitzhara, and the Yitzhara wasn't, since they weren't learning, they were not protected from the Yitzhara. We find that to be true. That's the Gemara in Shabbos with David HaMelech, the Yitzhara, the Macha Mavis, or similar. Whatever the same, similar beings. So a person is learning the Macha Mavis can't kill someone. It wasn't until the Macha Mavis had the Shek, the David HaMelech, from learning, that moment he had the opportunity to come and pounce and kill David HaMelech. Ravina comes along and says, Ravina, Amar Liolam Zuchus Torah. Really, it's a Zuchus of Torah that protects the lady. V'dekamer Zeinu Mitzuva Vose, and that which we said earlier, that she's not commanded, so there can't be such great tzar. So Gemara says what we initially thought. Yes, granted, she's not chayv to do mitzvahs, but still, be'igra, de'mekarin u'masin b'nayu, the fact, the schar she has of waiting for her children and encouraging her children to go learn. uvinatun lehu legavayu, and she waits up at night for her husband to come home from the Beis Medrash, ad asmi Beis Medrash, that schar mila pagin b'hadayu, is not going to get a lot of schar for that one, is not going to, will not protect her. Says Rashi, the two Y lines down, let's do the first Y line down. Liolam is zechus haTorah. It really is the zechus of the Torah. But lo sheo sekes b'Torah, not her learning of the Torah. Ela shetarechas b'vino b'bala shiasku. It means what she's involved in her son's and her husband's learning. The Mikarin Mesnian says Rashi, shetarechos abanein lahavin lebeis haSefer. She's going to run to do carpool. Likro mikro lishos mishnah, to encourage them to learn Suvim and learn the Mishnayos. V'nitla negavayu umamtinos, and waiting lebalent, she waits for her husband home. She yotzin leir acheres lematora. She allows her husband to go to the next city over to learn and comes back late, or maybe the end of the week. And all that tzchar she puts in, it's what protects her. The Gemara says, now my parsha's drachm. We said above in that whole mashal that the person's lost and he has the bonfire that helps him out a little bit, then he sees the sun and he's really protected, but he still doesn't know parsha's drachm. He still doesn't know where he's going until he gets to a crossroads of the sign says that way is Eretz Yisrael, that way is Bavel. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Chisda, zeh tam l'chacham v'yom misa. This refers to tam l'chacham and the day of his death. What does that mean? So it says Rashi, three wide lines down, my parsha's drachim. Ma'u ben damer lahagila parsha's drachim. What's the nimshal of reaching parsha's drachim? That's the way you're going to find your path in life. Da avuka hainu mitzvah. Avuka was referring to the mitzvah. Omer hashachar hainu Torah. Ela parsha's drachim, my ha'ihi. What exactly is symbolic of the parsha's drachim? So Rashi explains further, yom misa, the Tam Chacham, the day of his day he's going to die, even the day, his last day of his life, he doesn't remove himself from the responsibility of learning Torah. That's what it means. So I don't get the Nimshal here either, though. Parsha Drachim, it's supposed to where he decides what decision he has to make. So he's at the day of his death. He knows he's going to die. So he might say to himself, what's the point of me learning now? My life is over. So even in that moment where he's really a big decision, there's a big change obviously in his life to death, even then he's continuing to go on the right path until the very last second he has to learn.
He gets to a place where he's going to know exactly what's the truth and we know it's right there.
What does that have to do with Yom HaMisa though?
Because Yom HaMisa, once he dies, he knows what's the
So I guess what we're saying here is that the day he dies, he knows that his entire life he had never separated at all.
Right.
So he could look back and know he went in the right path. So that's according to the first pshat of Rav Chisda. Comes along Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Amar Zet Tamil Chacham v'yirashchet. Says Rashi v'yirashchet, four wide lines down towards the end of the line, v'yirashchet, zocha l'yirashchet, achar shezocha l'torah, nita mikulam. If he's zocha liras chet, if he's zocha to the fear of chet, after he's already been osik b'torah and he's saved from all them, she haTorah milamdasa, the Torah teaches him divrei mitzvah, divrei iser, what's right, what's wrong, umima shu tzarch lefoshim, from what he has to distance himself from, v'yiras chet mono milirdof achra yitzro. So the Torah tells you the guidelines, the rule book. But how do you know, sometimes you know what's wrong, you do it anyways. Yiras chet is what tells you not to follow your yitzhara, be scared of sin. So that's what it's talking about. The person has the Torah. He knows he's at the Parsha Drachim. He knows the right and wrong, knows which directions to go, which directions not to go. But it's the Yirashchei which tells him to go on the right path. Then the Gemara says, Mar Zutra Amar Zet Tam Chacham Desalkele Shmaitza Aliba de Hilchasa. This is referring to a Tam Chacham who was able to learn a Sugya not simply for the lumdus and for the theory and for the fun, but really to get to the Aliba de Hilchasa, to get to the bottom line, what the halacha is. Says Rashi towards the bottom here, Desalkele Shmaitza Aliba de Hilchasa V'Hachi Kamar. Allah Amar Shachar, the moment the sun rises, Nitzam Nachai, he's protected from all wild animals. Zachala Torah Nitzam Yitzhara. So that's what it means. The Chai Ra is Yitzhara. When he learns Torah, the Amar Shachar Torah, he's protected from the Yitzhara. Uminachet. V'adayin eini yodea beis derech mahalach. He still doesn't know which way to walk. He just hasn't done anything wrong, though. But what's the right thing to do? Im yizake, if he's zoche, shiyaseyeu min ha-shamayim, if he gets siyata d'shamaya, lisgabel dvar bein chaverov lahoris l'kalach k'mishpat. Now that he's doing nothing wrong, but how do you know he's going to be zocha to pask in the right way? And then he'll be, you know, miskabel, accepted among his friends, as a posik, as the going the correct way. So Agil, the Parsha Drachim, Klomer Zocha Lechachanitza Mikulam. Vizocha the Parsha Drachim, where he's able to decide which way to go on the map, that means he's been saved from everything. So that's what the Pasuk means, Parsha Drachim. Three different Pshatim. Either again, it's Yom HaMisa, Yashchet, or Liba Dehilchus that tells you the right direction to go on. The Gemara now says, Dabar Acher, towards the bottom here, Aveira Mechabe Mitzvah Vein Aveira Mechabe Torah. A person does an Aveira, and extinguishes the schar of a person's mitzvah, but it does not extinguish the schar of a person's learning. So Amar of Yosef, Darshe Rabbi Nacham Bar Yosi Lahaikra, he learned the Pasuk, Ki Sinai, like Sinai. What does it mean, like Sinai? It was clear as from the time it was given from Kabbalah Satorah, that's how clear it was that he darshened it. Vilmale darshu, he not darshened it. Doig v'achitopel hachim lo ratu baser David. Then doig achitopel would not have chased after David. Dechsiv lemor elokim ozvu. So what's going on here? Had Doeg and Achitova learned the drush like he would have, they would not have chased David HaMelech, fine. As the Pasuk says, again, Lemor Lakim Azu, and the rest of the Pasuk means, Ritual Vesifsu Ki Ein Matzio.
The Pasuk is Kemer Mitzvah with
the Or. That Pasuk they're referring to, okay. Let's look at the rest of the pasuk here. My darsh, what's the drasha? V'lo yirem b'cha ervas daver. One should not be engaged in erva. V'hein enu yodum she'avera mechabe mitzvah v'hein avera mechabe Torah. They did not realize that avera does extinguish mitzvah, but does not extinguish Torah.
They thought because of David's apparent hate that Hashem was not would have abandoned him, so therefore they could pursue him. They didn't realize, though, that his Torah study was always going to protect
him. Okay, I see. So the chet of Bathsheba, right. I presume. Okay. So that chet, they thought he was therefore guilty. And maybe he would have been guilty, but he saw the Torah that he learned so much, which the Gemara tells us that the Torah of David was so chaviv Tashem, more so than the karbanos that Shlomo HaMelech would bring. So that was what protected him.
Right here, it says, that we should take out Doeg, because Doeg, you know, what Doeg did was he destroyed Noah, but that was before David and Melech was called.
So it's not really connected to the story.
So they should write.
Okay. Second here. Okay, the Gemara now says, My boz yavuzu lo, this pasuk appears in Shir Hashirim. So what does it mean? Boz yavuzu lo. So Amar literally what means disgrace, I think, right? Disgraces you. So Amar Ula lo kishimon achi Azaria lo kirab Yochan ben debay Nisia el kahilal vishivna. Okay, so what's going on here? So Rashi tells us in the bottom here, Shimon, there's the first mission in Zavachim, I think. Shimon achi Azaria. So it's a Tana who with Misha Kamaisa de Zavachim, their very first mission in Zavachim. He learned Torah because his brother had a business and supported his other brother to learn in order to split the funds. This is Yisachar's Zvulun relationship. The brother worked and the other one learned. That's why he was called based on his brother Azariah who had supported him. The Kain Rabbi Yochanan Lamed Aidei Shanasi Shaya Mefarnasa. Rabbi Yochanan also learned in Kolel. He taught he was a Rebbe. He was supported by the Nasi. So, person, again, my vozi of ozelo, don't be like these who are supported by others, but rather be like Hillel and Shivna. If he also ravdimi amar Hillel and Shivna achi havu, they're brothers. Hillel asik b'tarar, or he'll learn, as we know. Rashi says, mitoch oni, the Gemara in Yuma tells us that anyone who complained he couldn't learn because he was so poor, you couldn't have been poorer than Hillel, and Hillel learned, and he was the one who got kicked out of the base medrash because he couldn't afford to enter in, and he was sitting on the top of the roof and he was snowed in. That was that Gemara. It was Asar B'Teves last year with that big snowstorm in Eretz Yisrael. It was very comical when you were learning the Daf Yomi that day, when that big blizzard happened. So anyway, so that's the he got snowed in on the roof and they couldn't see from the sunlight. And so you should be like Hillel, who was Asak B'Torah, and Shivna, Avid Iska, and Shivna worked. So Shivna, what, he worked but he didn't support anybody? And that should be a...
Story continues.
Hmm? Okay, so let's see. So why not go in and split the funds? Let them have a partnership like they had the Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan had, and like Shimon had. So Yatsa Basko of Amra, a heavenly voice came out and said, "Imitain Ish es Kolhon Beso." That's a pasuk that said, which concludes Ba'ava Bozavuzulo.
So we shouldn't give money to Allah?
I mean, in the beginning, he should have done this. But if a person initially didn't make such a deal, and afterwards wants to help him post facto, that won't work. So I'm confused. We should be like that, we shouldn't be like that.
Says that you should scorn the person who's offering you all this money, but that only applies to this last case where at the very end he comes along and says, "I'm offering you money, and let's split the sky."
End of what?
Bozhavuzulal.
Right, but as opposed to the other cases where all along,
so he doesn't get this char of everything he learned till then.
But from here on going forward, you would.
Yeah, you would, right. You would. But the way the Pasuk reads now is as follows. When the Pasuk says, where's the Pasuk inside here? Oh, by the way, this whole Pasuk makes sense. That's why we're bringing it here. First, the Pasuk begins in Shashir. Maim Rabim lo yuchlul chabos es ha'ava. Maim Rabim, which we refer to Torah, cannot be extinguished by Avera. That's the first half of the Pasuk. Unaharos lo yishtifu. Imitein ish es kol hon beis. If a person gives all his money, ba'ava, with love, boja vuzula, that's going to be a disgrace. So Mar said, what are you talking about? We have wonderful people. Rabbi Yochanan, who's supported by the Nasi. That was a wonderful thing. Why would that be considered boja vuzula? And we have Shimon, who's supported by his brother. It's a wonderful thing that Misha tells us.
Why doesn't it go to Yisachar and Zvulun?
Well, so that's the idea. That's what Rashi mentions this in Mizvachim. So when it says in Shir Shim, it's boja vuzula, went to disgrace, that's referring to the case of Hillel and Shivna, who Shivna only supported him after the fact. Now, in terms of your question, Yisachar Zvulun and Echanami, right? They were like the original ones. Right. I'm not sure why it's not mentioned. But I think Rashi in Zvachim, that Beis Manaf, when he talks about Shimon Achi Azariah, he mentioned B'nai Yisachar and Yisachar and Zvulun.
Did they say that here, by the way, when they landed the first time?
Yisachar? I don't know what they do here. Did they say Yisachar the first time?
Yeah,
probably. B'nai Yisachar. It's a Chassidish place here.
I do. So uh-huh. I just...
Okay.
I've done it and gotten stoned.
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying.
Okay, fine. Let's go.
Hail,
exactly. Chaf Alpha and Bez. Right now tells us on the top, quoting again from the Mishnah, Omer ben Azai chayv adam lelameis bito v'chulei. Person has an obligation to teach his daughter Torah because it's going to protect her in a situation where if she rachman l'tzlan falls into a situation of sota. Rabbi Eliezer Omer kol melabedes bito Torah melabeda tiflus. No, the opposite. If you teach her Torah, you're teaching her tiflus. So we typically pass in this way, like tiflus. Nowadays things have changed for various reasons. Chavetz Chaim says nowadays, since we're living in America or Europe, different places that are more open, the women need something to grab onto. They're going outside their homes. They need to learn a little bit more, and therefore they have to learn the things that are related to them, whether it be Chumash or Rashi, whether it mean Hilchos Nida, Hilchos Chal, whatever it's related to them. It's more so to build them up. They have to know what they're doing. They have to know Halacha Maaseh for themselves. It's not because there's a mitzvah for them to be Asik the Torah. There's no mitzvah to sit down and be Chavrusa, but they have to know what they're doing, and they also have to build themselves Yir Shemayim. So the Gemara explains how Tiflis Agadaitach, by teaching Torah, you're teaching her stupidity. Is that how they interpret Tiflis?
Physical intimacy.
Tiflis is physical intimacy?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, wow. Okay, so you're teaching her physical intimacy. So Gemara says, is that really true? It doesn't make any sense. So Amar Ella Ema Kilu Lamda Tiflis, as if you're teaching her Tiflis. So Amar Rabbi Yabohu, my time of Rabbi Eliezer. What was the reason of Rabbi Eliezer? He says this, it's as if you're teaching a tiflus. Dichsiv, as the Pasuk says, Ani chachma shachanti arama. So this is the Pasuk that we're in Koheles. Mishlei. So Ani chachma shachanti arama. I am wisdom and I rest in arma. I rest in nakedness, literally. So the drasha is, since Chachma enters into a person, it enters in Armumis, which is
cunning.
Cunning. Like Ramai.
Mirma.
Uh-huh. Okay. So it doesn't quite equate, it's not equated to physical intimacy, though.
Well, because now she's more cunning, so she thinks she can outsmart people and
uh-huh.
get away with it.
Uh-huh, okay. I certainly hear that. Okay. Rabbanan hai ani chachma mai abdilei. What they're bound to with this pasuk, they say one's allowed to teach her Torah. Torah is only going to be retained within a person who makes himself arum within them. What does it mean, arum? Let's see. Shenemar ani chachma shechanti arama. So how they define arum here? He's naked of everything else. He removes himself from all gashmis, as naked of not clothing literally, but he's mamish osek b'torah completely. He's armed from everything else, and such a person will have Torah miskayim within him. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan ain divrei Torah miskayim el b'misha mesim asma k'misha eno. The Torah is only able to be retained within a person who makes himself into nothing. A person who's an anav. Shenemar v'chachma me'ayin timsa. Chachma, where is the chachma found? In a me'ayin. If a person who makes himself ayin into a nothingness, that's a person who's going to be able to learn and understand Torah. And that's the idea of many things. That's why Torah was given to Har Sinai, the smallest of the mountains. Many indications, of course, that Torah is only miskayim in an anav.
It also means cunning.
Uh-huh.
That you learn Torah with cunning because you have to figure out strategies that help you learn Torah better and retain Torah better. So it's good to be cunning in that regard.
It's good for a woman to be cunning in that way.
A man.
So our arum here means right. It doesn't
it
mean,
also mean. It could also mean cunning.
Uh-huh. For man, it's a good thing. For a woman, it's a bad thing, though. Okay. So you look at the Tosfos on top here. Dibamaschel ben Azai Omer v'chayv Adam. The Tosfos quotes to Yushalmi the ben Azai delo Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and it's not like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. The Darish the Gemara in Chagiga hakel sa'am ha'nashim va'nashim va'taf. The Gemara pasuk tells us that when it comes to the mitzvah of hakel, you have to gather men, women, and children. And the Gemara explains there Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who was his day of darshening in the base medrash that day, he darshened anashim ba'olumo. The men come to learn v'nashim lishmo. They come to hear. So the women come to hear. So they don't come to learn. We see from here that they come to hear, and it's not a din of a mitzvah. So comes along Tosfos and says, the mitzvah of women is to hear, to know what to do. Women also have to know halacha ma'aseh, what to do. Thank you very much. Hope it works. Not because they have to know because of zechus tola. So here's a mefurish Tosfos that women, of course, have to learn Torah in order to know what they're doing. Let's go weiter. Now the Gemara says the two dots halfway down, Rabbi Yeshua Omer wrote to Isha. So Rabbi Yeshua's line was, wrote to Isha what? Bekav, what was the line exactly? Bekav et tiflis, and mitisha kav and precious. Right. She rather kav, and as we said, physical intimacy, as opposed to tisha kav and precious and having to separate. So Gemara explains now, my kamar, what's Rabbi Yeshua exactly saying? Hachi kamar, wrote to Isha bekav et tiflis, imo, Mitishus Kaban Uprecious. Which I think how we understood in the first place. But Rashi just explains a few narrow lines down. Wrote to Isha Bakava Tiflis Chafeta, she wants Lizon Bimizonos to be supported with food. Muatim with very little food, she'd rather have Vihe Tiflusa Matsu Labatashmish, and she'd rather have be involved physically. As opposed to Tisha Kaban, a lot of food, Uprecious having to separate from men, Lefroshmina Tiflis. Ulfikach Ein Tov Shetalmud Torah. It's not good because Talmud Torah leads to Tiflis. That was Rabbi Shua's line. I don't know if it was the last line or not, but... Right. Tosfos explains here, interestingly, in terms of the husband's profession. Look at Tosfos Dibur Maschil Rotsa Isha Bekava Tiflis. Tosfos writes, Peirush Rabbeinu Chananel, Rotsa she'isha shehi baila chamar, the wife rather her husband be a chamar, a donkey rider, v'heich matzu etzla b'chol Shabbos, and be in town from week to week, laseish la onasa, v'lo yavi la el kavchit and b'lan, and even though it's not a high-paying job, it's still something, and he's around, v'lo yeh gamal, not a camel driver, sheholich b'derech v'chok, where he goes very far distances, v'ein erodosin la ona, el achas l'shoshim, it's only home once every 30 days. Maybe even though he's traveling far places to bring back a lot of money, she'd rather her husband to be around more frequently with less money as opposed to infrequently and more money. Okay. Gemara now says the two dots. Hu haya omer chasid shota. So this is like the last line, the very cryptic line we had in the Mishnah. Bishu's just telling us that
because the Mishnah says, so explaining the Mishnah.
Bishu has this line.
He's saying the fact that a woman would rather not have the husband's be around the
Shabbat. According to Rabbi Chananel, according to Tosfos, yes. According
to Omer, right? Is that what Bishu's telling us?
According to Tosfos, yes.
Why would the Mishnah, why would he say that?
You mean, so what's the relevance in this Mishnah here?
Or why would anybody, any Talmud Chacham, quote something like that?
Why?
I mean, basically he's telling you, you know, better not, I don't know. It's a little bit out of context and out of...
Well, according to Rashi, this is a part of a continuation. That Rashi is not referring to how frequently the husband's around. It's referring to... I think it's referring to her working versus learning ethics. That's what I think he's referring to, according to Rashi.
According to this, the article follows the Tosfos.
It sounds like that a woman rather not know, woman rather than not know Torah, she'd rather be ignorant in order to engage in more tiflis. The more she knows, the more precious she has to do. So she'd rather be ignorant and stay away from these things. That's according to Rashi. According to Tosfos, it's a completely different understanding. Why it's relevant here, why it comes to the Mishnah, I'm not quite sure.
According to Rashi, what is it that the fact that he learns Torah, then she cannot be dealing in Tiflis? So
exactly. She rather Tiflis. Uh-huh. So she could be more physical intimate if she doesn't know as much. So the more she learns, the more she has to be parish, and she'd rather not. Rather be ignorant about it. At the end of the Mishnah, I had this, again, cryptic statement, which says, Hu haya omer, Rabbi Yeshua would say that a chassid shota, a rasha arum, an isha prusha, and makas prusha, and those four individuals are mibli olam, or ones without a world. So what does that mean exactly? So look at the Gemara now. The Gemara says, halfway down, chaf alf, and beis, Hu haya omer chasid shota v'chulei, the two dots, six narrow lines up. Heichi dami chasid shota. What exactly is a chasid shota? The guy's a chasid, he does wonderful, precious in chasidus, but he's a shota. So kagon de kataba isa benara. He sees a woman drowning at sea. V'amar lav aruch ara listakabe v'atzulei. I can't look at her. Let her drown on her own. I'm not allowed to look. So he's a chasid because he's very makbid in his stakos, which is a very, very important thing, of course. It's not a small matter. It's very serious. But at the same time, there's a bikuach nefesh here taking place, so that becomes an issue.
It's a very used expression, chasid
shota. It's true.
When you ask shilas, and they tell you, no, don't be a chasid shota.
Right, I assume you've heard that a few times.
Yeah, right?
You've heard that a few times from Rabina.
Rabina.
So look at Tosa. Tosa has a different understanding of this, what a chasid shota is, based on the Yushalmi. Tosas Dibra Maskal Heike Dami Chasid Shota. Yushalmi says Ra Tinak Mibaveya Benar. You see a child buoying on the in the water, trying to keep a paddle there, and you say Amar Lichsheechlot Tefillin Etzilenu. Let me take my tefillin off first and pop a kavod for my tefillin, and then I'm gonna go save the boy out there if he's still alive. Shecholit Tefillin Hotzis Es Nasha. The moment he's taking off his tefillin, the kid dies. What was the difference? I'm not sure. I don't know why the different case. Okay, the Gemara now says, "Hey, chidami Rasha Arum. What's in a Rasha Arum?" So, "Amar Rabbi Yochanan zeh matim devar of ledayin kodim shiavo bal din chaveru." A person who tells the dayin all his side and he says his case.
Tosfos is. you would think that the Gemara's reason is good. You know, of course. If a woman's drowning, you shouldn't save her. You shouldn't look.
Right. Okay. Could be.
According to friends here, is that the reason from Rashi? You say that the guy is a Rasha Gomer. He has, you know, it makes no sense. But according to Tosfos, he might not want to go into the water because he doesn't want to be willing to fill him. So it's more like Leshem Shamayim than the.
Uh-huh. Okay. Okay, so the Gemara says again, Hey, Chidami Rasha Arum, what's to consider Rasha Arum? Amar Rav Yochanan, Zeh Hamatim Devar V'Ladayin Kodem Shevo Baldin Chavero. So Rashi says, Shematim Devar V'Ladayin D'mishenikpu B'Lev Hadayin Shari Zichu Yosef L'Dvar Shazek Kashin L'Salkin V'Arei Arum Muso. The guy comes in, he knows his court case is at 2 o'clock. He comes in at 1 o'clock, knows the Dayan's there learning. He goes into the Dayan, can I speak to you? He spends an hour convincing the Dayan how he's right. Now the Dayan thinks this guy's right, and then only afterwards Shimon comes in to say his part. It's very hard to be convinced the other way. Once you've already made a decision in your mind, it's very hard to go afterwards. And that's a Rasha, that's considered a Rasha Arum. Not much of what it's called a Rasha Arum. Why is it any worse than any other Rasha?
Again, translated as cunning.
Cunning. So once you have that idea of cunning, so this is a cunning Rasha. Okay. The Gemara says now, Rabbi Yebohu Omer Zeh Anosin Dinar La'ani La'ashlim Lo Masayim Zuz. They're very evil person. Why, what's the lach? He guy, very nice guy. He's a tzaddik. He gives a pruta, a coin to the ani. What's wrong with that? Now he has 200 zuz. So what's wrong with having 200 zuz? He has money. So the Mishnah tells us, the Tanan Mishi Yesh La'Masayim Zuz Lo Yitol Leket Shecha Peya Ma'aser Ani. Person has 100, 200 zuz, which is not a lot, but if he has that much, he's not allowed to consider take these things. He's not considered an ani, he can't take. So, hayelo masayim chaser dinar, if he has masayim, but minus one, he has 199 only, afilo elef nosin, he could give 1,000 in one shot. Kachas, harez ayitol, he's allowed to take. So this guy says, okay, here's a one pruta. So now the guy tips his scale, he's no longer an ani, and had he not gotten that, he could have got $1,000. So, right, he can mafker, okay. Rabbi Yassi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Zeh, Meisiyetel Mechor, Nachas, Muatim. No, you know what a Rasha Arum is? It's a person who convinces an individual to sell all his properties. To sell, Nachas, Muatim, says Rashi. Ditznan, Misha, Meis, Venich, Banim, Banos. A person who dies leaves behind him a sons and daughters. Bizmancha, Nachas, Merubin, when there's a lot of property, Habanim, Yarshu, Habanos, Yazunu. So the sons take the property, and the daughters are going to be fed by the sons. Nechasim watim, if there's only a little bit of property, habanos yazunu vaabanim yishala apsachim, then the daughters will live off the property and the sons will go door to door. So now a person has only a little bit of property and he's advised by someone to go sell them. So the Amar Rabbi Yassi, back to the Gemara now, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, yisomim shekidmu machu b'nechasim watim mashim machu machu. If the yisomim went ahead and sold anyways, even though they shouldn't have sold, if they did sell, whatever it was sold. And
so then the girls are not nizon.
If you look at Rashi says shekadmu machru kodim shebo banos lebeisdin. They would go ahead and sell before the daughters come to the beisdin. Ve'midim beisdin lenechasim becheskes banos. And beisdin says they're really the property of the daughters. You have no right to sell them. So how does it all come together now?
Because now they cannot be nizon from them. You said that the sisters, they used to get the food from the nechasim moatim, and the boys used to go and have money.
Now the daughters have nothing.
Now the daughters have nothing, and they keep the money.
Aha. Okay. The next example of a Rasha Arum is as follows. So Abai says, Zeh Meisi Eitelim Chorben Nechasim Kreben Shimon Gamliel. A person who advises his friend to sell his property like that of Rabban Shimon Gamliel, which is that the Tanya Nechasei Lecha V'Acharech Laploni, I'm giving property to you, and after you get it, then the Reuben's going to get it. The Yard Harishon Amachar, the first guy goes down and sells it, V'Achan eats it. Hasheni Motzi Me'alukuchos Divi Rebbe. The second guy could take it out from the first guy. So again, I sold it to Ricky, and Ricky said afterwards, you're going to give it to David, and then instead, so Ricky has it now. And then he sells it to Harry. So now Harry's eating it, and David says, wait a second, that was my property. You have no right to buy it after Ricky. I have the rights to buy it first. So then he goes ahead and collects all the money from Harry. That's all according to Rebbe. But Rebbe Shimon Gamliel, Omer Ein L'Sheni Ela Masha Shaya Rishon, not true. Ricky had the full rights to sell whoever he wants, and he gives it over to, he sells it. And only whatever's left over in the hands of Ricky can go to Harry. I'd rather could go to David, but
what's the case again?
I sell to you. And I say, I'm going to you, but after you get it, you have to give it to David. That's how the path of this property is going.
You sell it to me, I pay you.
I pay you.
And then what? And then if I want to keep it, I keep it or no?
And after you, I guess I shouldn't say...
What do you mean after me?
I shouldn't use you, but let's say I give it to Reuben. After Reuben dies, I sell it to Reuben.
Right.
So now after Reuben dies, is yours from don't get it, it has to go to David. So let's say Reuben decides to sell it to Harry instead. So now David says, wait a second, you can't sell it to Harry. I had rights to it, because when Reuven dies, it's mine. So he goes ahead and collects the money. He collects the land from Harry.
Oh.